is so overwhelming. Concern tightened the corners of his lips as he leaned over. We don't have to do this.
We don't,
Ainsley agreed from the back seat. Her arm reached out and she squeezed my arm.
Actually, I'd rather do something else. This is just a stupid farmhouse party, and I bet they don't even have horses or cows. Now that would be cool.
Ryder's gaze held mine as he nodded. Ainsley's right. It's just a stupid party. But it was important. It meant I was trying, and leaving wasn't even trying. I don't want to be like this, I whispered as I looked away. And once I said it, I didn't even want to take the words back. A weird sensation hit me, almost like relief. That didn't make sense. Or did it? I don't like who I am. My gaze returned to his, and the concern was still there, filling his hazel eyes and thinning out his mouth. Tears crawled up the back of my throat. Humiliating, actually, to admit something so intimate like that. But now I wasn't the only one who knew this about myself. It wasn't my secret. It's okay. You're not going to feel that way forever. Ryder smoothed his thumb along my jaw. I closed my eyes, wanting to believe him, needing to. He kept his voice low as he spoke. Nothing lasts forever, Mouse. We didn't go to the party. We ended up going to a movie. I didn't even drive to the theater. Ryder had. And then he dropped Ainsley off, and then once I convinced him that I was fine, I dropped him off. Tonight had been a first, the first time I'd gone to the movies with a boy, and I wasn't even there for it. My head was stuck on the fact that tonight had been an absolute failure. I was pretty sure Carl and Rosa had waited up for me, but they were considerate enough not to jump on me when I entered the house and quietly climbed the stairs. My cell phone rang about 5 minutes after I closed the bedroom door. It was the first time Ryder had ever called me on the phone for, well, obvious reasons.
You there, Mouse?
He asked. Yes. I clutched the phone to my ear. There was a pause.
There's something I need to say to you, and I want you to listen, okay?
My stomach dropped. I sat on the edge of the bed, my legs curled under me. I hadn't gotten changed yet, just stripped off the cardigan that smelled faintly of popcorn. I braced myself, tried to at least, for Ryder to say this whole relationship thing was a bad idea. A million things raced in my head before he spoke again.
You said something tonight that really bothered me, he said, and I heard a door close on his end. You said you didn't like yourself.
I focused on the incomplete butterfly on my desk as I opened my mouth. No words.
I hated hearing that, Mouse. I don't like knowing you think that way,
he continued, and I closed my eyes. The burn was back, building in my throat.
There's so much about you that you should like. You're smart. You've always been smart. You're planning to go to college and maybe even do something med school related.
I squeezed my eyes tight then, because I didn't think I really wanted to do that, and thinking that made me feel like I was floating with no anchor.
You're kind, he went on as I covered my face with my hand. You're a sweet person who has her entire future ahead of her, not to mention you're a great kisser. You kind of suck at the whole graffiti thing, though, that's true.
A choked laugh escaped me.
But we can work on that, Ryder added. And those soap carvings I saw. They were amazing, Mallory. You are talented. You just don't talk a lot, Mouse, that's it. You're shy. There's no reason to not like who you are, because who you are is wonderful. You're perfect in your own way.
That's not it, I blurted out.
What?
I drew in a breath, and it all just came out. It's not just that I don't talk. I'm stuck.
You're not stuck, Mallory.
I am. I pushed off the bed, and I began to pace.
I'm stuck, and I can't get past that.
My voice cracked, and then I was talking faster, spewing out more words in a minute than I typically did in 5 hours. Tonight was a first for me. It should have been fun and huge, and I didn't even like it. I didn't even experience it. I didn't try. Not really. I'm that lame.
Mallory, and you and I have always been this way. I need help.
You're right there. I fall apart. You piece me back together. I don't even try to change that.
What? Where in the hell is this coming from? He asked. That's BS.
I shook my head.
And you are trying. You're in school. You're making friends. You're talking to people. He persisted. You just had a setback, that's all.
It was more than just a setback. I'm scared of everything, I admitted, voice hushed. Everything. My biggest fear is forever, that I will be like this forever.
He cursed. That bastard who did this to you, the way
he treated you the same and you didn't turn out this way.
I'm not perfect, Mouse. None of us are, but damn. I hate hearing you say this stuff because I...
His sigh came through the phone, sounding bone-weary.
I don't know how to make that better.
Neither did I. And maybe it wouldn't get better. Ryder had said nothing lasted forever. But some things... Some scars ran too deep to ever fade away.
Chapter 28 Wednesday evening, Ainsley messaged me on the computer. You there, stranger? I sent a quick yes. I'd barely talked to her since my party fail, too wrapped up in my own head to appreciate the stream of increasingly outrageous IMs she'd sent in the days that followed. Since that night, I'd felt itchy and uncomfortable in my skin. I wanted to shed the layers, but I didn't know how or where to even start. The feeling had lingered through the beginning of the week. I couldn't remember what was covered in class. Kiara had asked about the party on Monday, and I'd lied, saying I'd come down with something. I knew Ryder worried. We'd spent a few hours together after school on Wednesday, and I felt like I'd taken several steps backward. I was hyper-aware of everything I did and said, which meant I said and did very little as we walked the harbor. Ryder watched me like he was afraid I'd break down at any given moment, which was probably what he expected. He only held my hand and kissed me on the cheek when he left for the garage and work. I'd stayed in my room since I got home, carving away at a new piece of soap. I couldn't touch the butterfly. It sat on the desk, half-transformed. Nothing I'd created with the new bars of soap looked right. I couldn't get the petals right on the bloomed rose. I'd accidentally broken the ear off the bunny I'd been working on. And the cat looked like something out of a Tim Burton film, but not as interesting. I wasn't concentrating. I couldn't concentrate. Maybe Ainsley could distract me. A new IM appeared. Can I call you? I know you hate talking on the phone, but I want to call. I straightened. Frowning, for Ainsley to actually call meant something was up, something more than just my not being in the mood to IM all week. Of course, I typed, and my phone rang a few seconds later. I know phones aren't your thing, but I need someone to talk to, she said, her voice barely above a whisper. And you're my best friend, and I'm... Her voice caught, and my chest squeezed. I'm just really freaking out.
Is it Todd? I asked, moving my laptop out of my lap and onto my pillow. Her laugh was cutting.
No, I wish it was just about him.
I folded my arm across my stomach.
What is going on?
Ainsley's deep breath was audible through the phone.
You remember how I had to go to the eye specialist, a retina specialist? Because of what the doctor saw when I was getting checked out for new glasses?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I saw the specialist this afternoon, and I don't even understand.
I really just thought he was going to say something like, you have crappy eyesight, or you have a mole on your eye. Did you know you can have moles on your eyes? You can.
I didn't know that. I chewed on my lower lip. What did the specialist say?
They dilated my eyes and then checked the pressure in them. It was a little higher than normal, but not a big deal. Then they took images of my eyes, you know, when you have to stare at the X on the screen, and then they did another series of tests that were X-rays, I guess. They put iodine in me and then flashed all these lights in my eyes while they took pictures. It was really weird, and it changed my vision to red and then blue for a few seconds. She took another deep breath. And then the specialist finally came in and examined my eyes. Ainsley cleared her throat before continuing. He sat on his little stool, took off this head contraption that reminded me of something miners would wear, and he said he was pretty sure I had this thing called retinitis pigmentosa, but he needed to schedule a field vision test to be sure. He also said there was swelling in my eyes, and I was like, okay, so what do we have to do?
Okay. I clutched the phone tight.
And he said for the swelling, he was going to prescribe eye drops, some kind of steroid. He made it sound like the swelling was pretty serious. Something called macular edema or something, and that if the veins or something ruptured, it would be real bad.
Oh my gosh.
But the drops will help with that.
Yes.
Ainsley's voice sounded strained. I asked him how he was going to treat the retina thing. And he said there wasn't anything he could do about that. There was no cure. And I was like, okay, not a big deal, because I've always had less than perfect eyesight. But he was looking at me like he felt bad for me, and I didn't get it.
I had a really bad feeling about this.
That's when he told me that I would most likely go blind or almost completely blind.
Ainsley, I gasped, shocked.
And they don't even know when it will happen, but it will happen. There are more tests they have to do, but he started telling me that I could either lose my vision from the sides or something called lattice vision, and
she cut herself off with a deep breath.
Okay, I'm not going to freak out.
It's okay to freak out about something like this, I reassured her. This was an official freak-out situation.
Are they sure it's really that?
I think so, Mal. I really think so.
Even the assistant was looking at me like she wanted to hug me, and I was just sitting there having no reaction at all. And I came home, and it hasn't sunk in. Like, am I going to wake up tomorrow blind? Do I have, like, a few weeks, a couple of years? I don't even know what to think. A couple of hours ago, everything was normal.
I pressed my hand to my chest. Ainsley, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say. And for once, it wasn't because I was caught up in my head, but because I honestly didn't know what to say. This was a big deal. This was life-changing.
I hope they are wrong.
Me too, she murmured.
There is a chance, you know? They have to do a field test, and they were mentioning some kind of genetic test to confirm, but no one in my family is blind.
I don't know.
Is there anything I can do?
Find me new eyeballs?
She laughed, and for a moment she sounded like her normal self. When we said goodnight a half hour later, I was still reeling from the news. I dropped my phone on the bed beside me and stared at my computer. Closing my laptop, I pushed it off the pillow and away from me. It slid to the middle of the bed, stopping as it reached my book bag.
Oh my God,
I whispered, closing my eyes tight for a moment. Swinging my legs off the bed, I stood and started toward the door but stopped. I didn't even know where I was going. Ainsley was going blind? How was that even possible? How did you wake up one morning thinking everything was fine, that today would be like any other day, and then get told something like that? I didn't know what to think. Sitting down on the edge of the bed, I slowly shook my head. I had no idea what Ainsley must be going through, what she must be thinking. You took something like vision, no matter how poor, for granted. No one ever considered the possibility of not having it, of not actually knowing what the color red looked like or how the sky changed at dusk. If I was her, I'd be panicking. I would be in a fetal ball somewhere, rocking. I would probably never know what I'd do, because I wasn't going to lose my eyesight, at least as far as I knew. My hands dropped to my knees as I stilled. I would most likely never get shot in the back and lose my ability to walk. I would probably, hopefully, never again experience what it was like to go to bed hungry at night, my stomach so empty it hurt. I didn't have to worry about everyone having low expectations of me anymore. I had Carl and Rosa, who cared about me deeply. I had great friends, one who was going through something serious, something that would change her entire life. I had Ryder. I had all of these things because of the second chance I'd been given. I thought about all the people who would never have the privilege of a second chance at anything. I was lucky. My life had been hard, but the past, it was a part of me, but it wasn't me. I had a future, possibly a beautiful one where I wouldn't be a victim. And yet, when I got lost in my head or let what Mr. Henry did shape my decisions, I wasn't embracing that future. I wasn't acknowledging everything I had. That had to change. And I thought, by realizing just that, becoming aware, I was changing. Chapter 29. Ryder grinned as he eyed the open bedroom door from where he sat on the window seat. I was sitting in the middle of the bed, with my speech textbook open in front of me. We were supposed to be working on the next speech, one we were to deliver on someone who was important to us. I'd given my persuasive speech during lunch last week, which hadn't been hard to write, though was still painful to deliver. But this one was giving me fits. There were so many people I could write about. How could I just pick one? Taking a deep breath, I started writing again. There are several important people in my life, people who have had a hand in changing who I am. I stopped, sighing. It seemed obvious that I'd write about Carl or Rosa, but putting why they were important to me into words on paper was harder than I realized. I didn't want to go too deep into why they were so important, even though Mr. Santos probably already knew part of it. Ryder pulled a sheet of notebook paper free, crumpled it up, and then tossed it at me. I had no idea who he was writing a speech on. When I'd asked, he'd said he was going to write about Peter Griffin from Family Guy, and I was guessing, hoping, he hadn't been serious, because I doubted Mr. Santos would appreciate that. I smiled as it landed among pieces of paper I'd painstakingly straightened. I knew, without even opening it, it would be a drawing of some sort. This had become his habit over the last month whenever we studied together. I would study. He would draw. I would tell him to do his homework. He would distract me in the best possible ways. Things had been different, but the same, in the weeks following the night of Peter's party. Ainsley's field vision test had confirmed what the doctor had diagnosed. She was losing peripheral vision, already lost about 30% without realizing it. The doc had told her that she would still have several years of functioning vision, and that with all the advancements in that medical field, there would likely be a cure. Likely. Ainsley didn't really talk about it. I wished she would, because I knew better than anyone that staying silent wasn't always the answer. There were some things you needed to talk about, and this was one of them. Carl really hadn't warmed up to Ryder, not even when he had dinner at our place at least once a week. But at least he hadn't interrogated Ryder again. He'd graduated to silently stuffing his face during those meals while Rosa kept the conversation going. So that was a plus. And things with Ryder had been more than good. They had been new and exciting and fresh. Fun. And when I did something kind of crazy 2 weeks ago, he hadn't gotten mad or uncomfortable. As seniors, we had to meet with the guidance counselor to discuss colleges and future plans, and while I'd been in the office, I'd picked up an SAT application. Not for me. I'd taken mine already. I'd picked it up for Ryder. That same day, after school, I stopped at an art supply store and bought a generic, cheap portfolio. I'd given both things to Ryder that night, after dinner, and he'd stared at them for so long. At first I feared I'd made a mistake. But then he'd smiled and thanked me. I just wanted him to see that there were options for him and that he should be proud of his work. College shouldn't be off the table if he did want to go. The next day, he had taken me to the art gallery in the city, where his paintings still hung. And just as I had the day he'd first taken me to the abandoned factory, I found myself transported. 5 feet tall and nearly as wide, the painting reminded me of the first one he'd shown me. It was a boy, but this time he wasn't looking at the sky. He was looking straight out, staring everyone in the face as they walked by, daring them not just to look at him, but to see him. I marveled again at the fact that he'd done this with spray paint. Like before, it had been hard to look away from the painting, and even after we'd left the gallery, I couldn't forget the look of settled hopelessness. The kind of look that said no one expected anything to change. It stayed with me, even as I picked up the ball of paper Ryder had tossed. The first drawing he'd done while we'd studied was of the Baltimore skyline. I'd made him put it in the portfolio, and his face was red the entire time. It was cute. There were at least two more lying on my bed right now that would be perfect for the book. The sketch of a sleeping golden retriever, and the one he'd drawn of a Mustang. I carefully opened up the ball of paper. My mouth dropped open in amazement, and I looked over at him. "You drew this in a couple of minutes?" He shrugged a shoulder as he twirled his pen. "It was more like 10. 10 minutes? That's still unbelievable. Odd, I lifted the piece of paper. In the time it had taken me to write a single sentence, he'd sketched me as I was right that second. He'd captured the messy bun atop my head and replicated my profile as I stared at the speech I was working on. Brows lowered in concentration. I must have been biting my lower lip. There was even the freckle under my right eye. Every detail etched in blue ink. It was me. But it didn't look like me. This girl appeared older and more mature. The slope of the shoulders sophisticated. Sounded weird, but as I stared at the sketch, it was like seeing a different version of myself. A better version of myself. Did I really look like that to him? Perched on my shoulder was a butterfly. I thought that was a strange addition, until my gaze lifted from the drawing and traveled to the desk. The butterfly carving that I'd started well over a month ago sat unfinished there. It was finished in his sketch. I laid the piece of paper on my textbook and carefully smoothed out most of the wrinkles. This one wasn't going in his portfolio. I was going to keep this forever. "You like it?" he asked. "I love it." He chuckled, and when I glanced over at him, the pen was moving over his notebook. "Have you written anything for the speech?"
"Of course."
"You're lying."
"Maybe."
"Ryder," I sighed. He looked up through his lashes.
"It won't take me that long to write something up. Besides, this is a better use of my time."
"How so?"
"The drawings make you smile," he replied with a grin. "Working on the speech doesn't do anything."
That was so sweet I wanted to hug him tight, kiss him too. "Working on your speech will make me smile too." His brows lifted and then he flipped his notebook closed.
"I know what else will make you smile."
"What, you actually doing some homework?"
"Nope."
He glanced at the door again and then rose.
"I think me sitting closer to you will make you smile."
The boy knew me well.
He took a step closer.
I think holding your hand will make you smile.
I straightened as I watched him.
And I think...
He sat on the edge of the bed and twisted his body toward mine.
I think kissing you will make you smile, too.
Oh, dear. I'd totally lost control of this conversation. But I liked it. The corners of my lips tipped up.
I think you're right. I know, but...
He placed his hand over mine and lowered his voice.
If Rosa comes up here and catches me making you smile in that way, it'll end badly.
You're not worried about Carl coming up here? The right dimple appeared as he shook his head.
Rosa scares me more.
Laughing, I shoved his arm.
What? She's pretty scary, like badass scary,
he replied. She looks like she knows how to fight, ninja style.
Ninja style?
I laughed again. I can confirm that. She does know karate.
That's a relief.
Leaning over, he kissed my cheek.
It's about that time.
Unease curled low in my stomach. Party round two. It was going to be a very different party, not nearly as big as Peter's. It was just hanging out at someone's house, a guy from school that Hector and Ryder played basketball with. Ainsley wouldn't be with us, but I was still nervous. What if I bailed again, unable to do it? What if I didn't talk to anyone? What if I was so worried about doing the wrong thing that I didn't even try? He tilted his head to the side, eyes searching mine.
We don't have to go. We can stay here or go to the movies.
Staying here would be nice. Movies would be awesome. But what did that accomplish? I shook my head.
No, I want to go.
Mouse, I'm serious. I ducked my chin as I picked up the sketch of me and closed my notebook. Scooting to the edge of the bed, I stood and walked over to my desk.
I want to go to the party.
It's not really a party, he said. It's just going to be a couple of people hanging out at a house. Not a big deal if we miss it. There will be more. Opening a drawer in my desk, I rooted around until I found the roll of tape.
We're going.
There was a pause.
Yes, ma'am.
I cracked a smile as I taped the sketch to the wall above my desk.
Wait here?
His eyes were on the sketch.
Not going anywhere.
Walking out, I grabbed my makeup bag and took it to the hallway bathroom before I lost my nerve and ended up changing my mind. I pulled out the bobby pin and then ran a brush through my hair. I quickly retouched the makeup, lipstick, blush, and added mascara. I figured the sweater dress and thin tights were good enough. Ryder was waiting for me like he said, and when I walked in, his gaze did a slow slide that left a wake of shivers.
I really love it when your hair is down.
My heart did a little skip at the word love, and I told my heart to stop being stupid.
Thank you.
He rose, and within three steps he was in front of me, lifting up a heavy strand of hair.
Such a gorgeous color now. Don't get me wrong, the orange was cute.
I rolled my eyes. The orange was not cute. He ignored that.
I have no idea what I'd have to mix color-wise to get this shade, but I'm going to figure it out.
Then he lowered his head and kissed the freckle below my eye. I started to lean into him, but Carl's voice echoed through the house and I figured that wouldn't be the best idea.
Let's do this.
On the way out, I grabbed my phone and a small purse. We headed downstairs to the kitchen where I swiped my keys off the counter.
You guys heading out?
We turned at the sound of Carl's voice.
Yes.
Carl crossed his arms, his gaze fixed on Ryder.
And where are you going?
I responded before Ryder could. We're going to a friend's house.
I thought you two were studying.
Suspicion clouded Carl's tone. We were, and we finished, which wasn't a lie. He didn't look like he believed us, but before he could say anything else, Rosa entered the living room.
Neither of you have a jacket?
We aren't going to be outside for very long. I glanced at Ryder. He was just wearing a thermal under his shirt. At least my sweater dress was thick. He shoved his hands into the pockets of his jeans. Thank you again for the sandwich, Mrs. Rivas.
Ryder had thanked Rosa so many times for the ham and cheese sandwich she'd made us when he first came over, that I was seriously starting to believe that he was really afraid of her.
Carl eyed Ryder stonily. Her curfew is 8.
What? My eyes widened as my grip tightened on the keys. My curfew has always been 11.
Rosa stepped forward, placing a hand on Carl's shoulder. Make sure she is home before 11.
I'll have her back by 8,
said Ryder, and my mouth dropped open. Before I could say anything, he added,
I promise.
Carl's lips were pressed in a thin line, and I waited for him to thank Ryder or something, but all he did was nod curtly. Anger pricked at my skin. Rosa was trying, kind of, but Carl wasn't, at all.
I reached down, wrapping my hand around Ryder's. A muscle throbbed along Carl's temple, and I squeezed Ryder's hand. I didn't say anything until we were outside, in the bright sunlight.
I'm sorry about Carl, I said. He's just really protective.
It's okay.
Ryder dropped my hand as we neared my car, and I knew that it really wasn't okay.
I understand.
I frowned. Understand what?
He lifted a shoulder as he snatched the keys out of my hand.
Everything.
The large, run-down industrial building across from the ancient row homes reminded me a little of Ryder's abandoned factory. Windows were boarded up, and the faded red brick was covered from the ground to the roof in graffiti. I knew it wasn't Ryder's because it wasn't nearly as beautiful, but it did create an odd combination of dull shades and bright, in-your-face color.
Ryder pulled into a parking lot that was partially enclosed with high chain-link fencing. Half the fence had fallen down, and someone had piled up the broken sections in one corner of the lot. The off-white pavement threatened to crumble beneath our feet as we walked out.
Is it okay for the car to be parked here? I asked. I'd never been to this neighborhood, but I knew it wasn't too far from where he lived.
Ryder nodded as I dropped my keys into the purse.
No one will mess with it.
I wasn't necessarily worried about anyone messing with it, more like it getting towed away due to all the no trespassing signs plastered everywhere.
Ryder took my hand as we crossed the narrow street.
This is Rico's place. It's not the nicest, but we won't be bothering Mrs. Luna by hanging over here when she gets home from work.
My throat had dried as we climbed the wide steps. Ryder didn't even knock. Just opened the door and we went right inside. Laughter echoed through the dark entryway, and there was that rich, earthy scent.
Hey, man, an older guy said. He was sitting in a recliner, a tall bottle in his hand. What's up?
Nothing much, replied Ryder.
He squeezed my hand. The living room was full of people. My gaze darted nervously as Ryder started to introduce me to the guys in the room. I recognized Rico, but I hadn't seen anyone else before.
This is
Mallory, a familiar voice said from behind us.
Paige.
I stiffened as Ryder turned halfway.
Hey there, he said, as she handed him a cup.
Not me, just him.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Her gaze flickered over me. Nice dress. I had a feeling that wasn't necessarily a compliment. She looked amazing, as usual, in skin-tight black jeans and a strappy tank top in a shimmery, silvery color. How was she not cold? Maybe it was because she was the devil. The devil that spoke the truth.
Thanks, I murmured anyway.
Those were pretty much the only words she'd spoken to me since the day in the hallway, when she told me I was going to break Ryder's heart. I knew they still sometimes talked. I was okay with that, as long as I didn't get dragged into conversations with her. Paige arched a brow. She didn't just walk past us into the living room. She sashayed, swinging hips and all. She sat on the couch in between two older guys who nodded at Ryder. They were focused on the TV, their fingers flying over the game controllers.
There's shit to drink in the kitchen.
Rico nodded in my direction, if she wants something.
Cool.
Ryder tugged me around and we walked down the hall into a sparse kitchen.
Empty beer boxes were piled next to an overflowing trash bin. He placed the cup Paige had handed him onto the counter and then walked to the fridge. A sharp smell hit the air when he opened the door.
There's some Mountain Dew in here. That work for you?
I nodded. So does Paige hang out here a lot? He shrugged as he handed a can over to me, then grabbed one for himself.
Sometimes. Rico's a friend of her family.
You're not going to drink what Paige gave you?
Nope.
For some stupid and most likely childish reason, I was happy to hear that. Ryder curled his hand around the nape of my neck and lowered his head. When he spoke, his warm breath danced over my lips.
How are you doing?
Good, I murmured. We just got here.
I'm checking in, though.
His head tilted slightly, and I shivered.
I'm going to do that a lot, and when you want to leave, you just tell me, okay?
Okay. He kissed me softly and then pulled away. I felt my cheeks heat as we walked back toward the living room. Ryder stopped at the doorway.
Where's Hector?
Upstairs.
Rico sipped from the bottle. Ryder glanced down at me.
Wanna see what he's up to?
Sure, I said, trying to speak louder, but it came across as a whisper. He smiled anyway and then led the way. The upstairs was slightly cooler than below, and Ryder seemed to know where we were heading, because he went straight to the second door and rapped his knuckles off it.
Yo,
came the response.
It's me. You busy? I got Mallory with me.
Yeah, give me a sec.
There was a sound of something creaking, and then a girl giggled. My brows flew up, and Ryder winced.
Hey, we can come back, he called out, grinning at me. Don't want...
The door swung open. Hector was straightening out his shirt with one hand. We had so interrupted something.
Nah, no problem. Come on in.
You sure?
Hector nodded as he opened the door the rest of the way. A dark-skinned girl sat on the edge of the futon. She smiled when we walked in and gave a little wave. A candle was burning on a dresser, and it reminded me of sugar cookies. I wondered whose room this was. Then again, it didn't really look like a bedroom.
Have you met Ryder?
Hector asked the girl, and she nodded.
Cool. This is Sheila, and that's Mallory.
Sheila smiled.
Hi.
Hi, I murmured. Hector walked over to a dark red beanbag and plopped down in it.
So, when did you guys get here?
He asked, as we sat on the futon next to Sheila.
Just a little bit ago,
Ryder answered. Hector glanced over at me before continuing.
Everyone still downstairs?
He nodded.
Rico and the guys are playing one of the Assassin's Creed games. Looks pretty serious.
Chuckling, Hector reached up and snagged a clear glass off the small end table.
Sounds like normal. You guys planning to hang out for a while?
Maybe.
Ryder knocked his knee off mine.
We might catch a movie or something, not sure.
Sounds good. You catch the game earlier?
Hector asked, and as the boys started talking about a basketball game, I glanced over at Sheila. She was looking down at her phone, scanning what appeared to be Facebook. There was so much I could say right now, so many questions I could ask. Options were limitless, but my tongue felt heavy. I started to look away, but stopped myself. That wasn't what I needed to do. I needed to speak. I needed to not do what I normally did, which was just shut down. I forced my lips and tongue to move.
So, do you go to Lands High?
There, I did it, and I managed not to smile like a fool, too. Sheila looked up.
No.
She grinned. I actually go to Howard University. I'm just home visiting for the weekend.
Oh.
Surprised, I glanced over at Hector, but neither of the guys were paying attention to us.
What? What are you studying?
She hooked a long leg over the other.
Education. This is my first year.
That's cool. Did you always want to go into education?
Pretty much,
she replied, and I was envious because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do,
Or maybe I was, but Carl and Rosa weren't exactly thrilled with the idea.
What about you? You planning college?
I nodded as I set my soda on the floor. University of Maryland, I'm not sure what I'll study yet.
You'll figure it out. There are juniors at my college who still don't know what they want to do.
Her phone dinged.
So you all go to the same school?
I nodded. The conversation between us slowed, and I focused on what the guys were talking about. They'd moved on from basketball to football, and I lost track of time. Maybe an hour passed when Hector rose, and so did Sheila.
We're heading downstairs, Hector announced, walking to the door.
We'll be down in a minute.
Hector's grin was sly as he closed the door behind them.
Sure, sure. Take your time.
I twisted toward Ryder.
Why?
I didn't get a chance to finish speaking. His mouth was on mine in a sweet, all-too-quick kiss.
Proud of you,
he murmured against my lips, and I smiled because I knew what he was talking about. The small conversation I held with Sheila wasn't much, but it was a big deal. I was out of my element, but I hadn't just sat there, paralyzed. Placing my hands on his chest, I smiled against his lips. She seems really nice.
Yeah.
He kissed the corner of my mouth.
I'm pretty sure we totally interrupted them.
I giggled.
Yeah, I think we did too.
We're such terrible friends.
He cupped my cheek.
But, you know what?
What?
I'm so going to take advantage of the fact that we're alone.
He paused and my stomach dipped like I was on a roller coaster.
What do you think about that?
I lowered my hand to his knee. I think I'd like that.
Good.
He tilted his head.
Because I think I'm really, really going to like that.
Ryder kissed me then, and it was slow and soft, and it warmed my blood. I didn't know how long the velvety, supple kiss went on, but after endless moments, it changed, deepened. His tongue moved against mine, and I'd never been kissed like that before. Never felt anything like that before. He made this noise in the back of his throat, and my heart was thundering in my chest as he leaned into me. Somehow I ended up on my back, and Ryder was beside me on the futon. His hand slid down my arm, and it was just him and me. I wasn't thinking about this odd room or the people downstairs. I wasn't thinking about anything other than how he made me feel, how he kissed me, touched me. Like I was something precious and invaluable to him. My hands had a mind of their own, and I was touching him in ways I'd never done before. I tugged on his thermal, and Ryder immediately responded. He lifted up and reached around to the nape of his neck. Grabbing a fistful, he pulled his thermal and shirt off in one smooth movement. I sucked in air as I got an eyeful of Ryder shirtless. It was... wow. Except for TV and movies, he was the first guy I'd seen bare-chested in real life. Carl didn't count, because that was, well, weird.
You can touch me if you want,
he offered. I wanted. Biting down on the inside of my cheek, I placed my hand on the center of his chest. Wiry hairs tickled my palm. I could feel his heart pounding. Slowly, I dragged my hand down. Over the tightly rolled muscles of his abdomen. He jerked when my hand reached the band on his jeans. I drew my hand back, my gaze flickering to his face.
It's okay.
His voice sounded rough.
More than okay.
Touching him again, I slid my hand across his stomach, avoiding his jeans this time. I loved the feel of him. So much strength under soft skin. Ryder shifted back onto his side next to me and placed his hand on my waist. Kissing me again, he quickly distracted me from my explorations. I got lost in the kisses and in the way my body was responding to them. Muscles low in my belly tightened. My head was spinning as his hand drifted to my neck and over my front, lingering in ways that caused my back to arch and my breaths to come quicker. Then he went lower,
slipping his hand under the hem of the sweater dress and up over the thin tights. His hand slid over my thigh and then between them. My entire body felt like it was on fire. Tension built deep inside. It was hot and tight, and I didn't understand it. Unease curled low in my stomach as I gripped his arm. Some of the heat faded as my eyes fluttered open. "Ryder," I said, and he kissed me again, and for a moment I got lost in that kiss, lost in what his hand was doing. It felt good, but I... Oh, God, I wasn't ready for this. "Can we slow down?" I whispered, my hand tightening around his wrist. His hand immediately stilled as he lifted his head.
"Yes, yeah."
He cleared his throat as he eased over, drawing his hand away from me. I squeezed my eyes shut against the sudden burn of tears. God, I didn't even know why I wasn't ready, or if I should be. I had no idea, and now I feared...
"Did I hurt you?"
My eyes flew open. "What?" He was staring at me intently.
"Did I do something wrong?"
I couldn't answer. Nothing he'd done felt wrong, quite the opposite.
"If I did, I really want to know. I promise I'll..."
"You didn't hurt me," I said. "I just..." "Why would you think that?" He lowered his gaze.
I haven't done a lot of this."
His cheeks flushed pink and my eyes widened.
"I mean, I've done some stuff, but not a lot. I haven't had sex."
For the longest moment, I couldn't respond. All I could do was stare at him. "You're a virgin?" One side of his lips kicked up.
"Yeah, you sound surprised."
"I am. I thought, I don't know, you were with Paige. I just assumed you had sex before."
"That would be a negative," he replied, picking up my hand. "You're looking at me like you don't understand how it's possible."
He could really read minds.
"It's gotten close, but I just never... I haven't wanted to go that far."
He shrugged a bare shoulder. "I haven't done it either," I blurted out. "I mean, that's super obvious since you're the first boy I've kissed, but yeah, I don't even know what I'm saying, and I'm just going to shut up." Ryder chuckled.
"Don't. I love it when you ramble."
"Only you would enjoy that." I curled my fingers through his. "Do you want to go that far with me?" His lashes swept up, and his eyes with their greenish flecks met mine.
"Yeah. Yeah, I do. Someday."
Warmth swept across my cheeks as I whispered, I want that too. Someday." The dimple in his right cheek appeared.
"Then we're on the same page."
"Yeah." I lifted my head and kissed him. "I'm sorry about stopping. It felt good, but..."
"Mallory, please don't apologize."
Ryder sat up, pulling me along with him. "We can do whatever you want. Go as far as you want, and we will always stop when you want, no matter what. You feel me? There's nothing to apologize for, and that's the way it should always be." Oh my God. Ryder wasn't perfect, but he was damn close. Actually, he was perfectly imperfect. A giddy rush hit me, and I grinned at him.
"We should head down there, huh?"
he asked, and I nodded. Ryder picked his thermal up and pulled it on over his head, pausing to grin at me.
"Sorry, I'm going to have to cover up. I know it's not fair."
I laughed as he shrugged on his shirt over the thermal. "It really isn't." He pulled out his phone as he grinned at me.
"Crap, my battery is about to die."
"I have mine."
"Cool. We can use yours later to see if there are any good movies out."
He offered me his hand, and I took it. The giddiness followed me on the way down. Back in the living room, Ryder sat in one of the plastic chairs catty-cornered to the couch,
and pulled me down in his lap, curling his arms around my waist. I didn't see Sheila or Rico. It was then I realized we'd left our drinks upstairs.
Nice of you all to join us,
Paige commented as she looked over her shoulder. Ryder's arms tightened around me as Hector chuckled.
Métete en tus asuntos.
She shot him a dirty look as I heard the front door open. A few seconds later, Jaden walked in. He saw us and smiled widely.
Yo, I didn't know you guys were here.
He shuffled over.
Awesome.
Hey, I said, smiling at him. The bruises had long since faded, and Jaden looked the way he did the first day I met him.
We're probably leaving soon, Ryder said. Might catch a movie.
Jaden leaned against the wall as he looked around the room.
I see how it is. You figure you don't stand a chance with Mallory now that I'm here to show her what a real man looks like.
He winked as Ryder just shook his head.
Fine, leave, but no dumb movie will be as entertaining as the Jaden show, and I don't charge admission.
Ryder chuckled.
Whatever, man.
Is Rico here?
Jaden asked.
He was, not sure where he's at now.
He nodded slowly as he shoved his hands into his pockets.
What movie are you guys gonna see anyway?
I don't know, I answered, when Ryder remained quiet. An idea formed. Do you want to come? Jaden blinked, as if he was surprised.
That's sweet of you, but I'm not good at sitting in a theater.
My brows furrowed. Why? Because he'd talk through it, Paige answered from the couch. He would literally talk through the entire movie.
True dad,
one of the other guys responded. I grinned.
It's true, you know, I like to add commentary every once in a while, Jaden explained. But for some reason, people be all upset over that.
I can imagine,
Ryder replied dryly.
I like to think that what I'm adding actually enlightens the experience, Jaden said.
Paige snorted. I don't think enlighten is the right word.
My entire presence is enlightening, he replied.
Hector looked over his shoulder, eyebrows raised.
I can come up with a few words that describe your presence. Enlightening is not one of them.
Jaden grinned at his brother.
You know what they say.
What?
Hector waited. He winked.
Hate the game, not the player.
Hector shook his head as he squinted.
That don't even make sense in this conversation. That's because it's too highbrow for you, Jaden retorted.
His brother rolled his eyes.
Whatever. Did you fill out the application?
Jaden nodded.
Yes, Dad, it's on the coffee table at home for you to take in tomorrow.
Application? I repeated, hopeful.
Hector can't stand to be 1 minute without me, so I'm gonna be working with him at Mickey D's, Jaden said. Gotta get a permit and stuff.
Yeah,
Hector laughed. That's exactly why I want you working with me.
Happy to hear that he was doing something that his brother had been asking him to do, I smiled up at Jaden. That's awesome. His gaze met mine. Really? I repeated.
Yeah.
Jaden dipped his chin as his cheeks deepened in color.
Gotta start somewhere, you know.
It's a good place to start, I told him, meaning it. We ended up hanging out for another hour, and any earlier nervousness vanished with Jaden there, making fun of himself and cracking jokes in between messing with his phone. His texts were going off like crazy, and by the time we said our goodbyes and walked outside, I'd swear he'd sent about 24. Jaden followed us out, his fingers flying over the keyboard. Ryder draped his arm over my shoulder as we started across the street.
Any idea of what movie? Whoa!
He yanked me back against a parked truck as a car roared down the street, seeming to come out of nowhere. There was a squealing sound, and I caught sight of the passenger window rolling down. Fireworks went off. The kind that snapped and popped when you threw them at the ground. Except they weren't fireworks. That sound, it wasn't... Air punched out of my lungs as I hit the ground, a heavy weight
settling over me. Horror seized me as my brain registered what the sound was. It was gunshots. Chapter 30. Tires peeled, kicking up loose gravel. Tiny pebbles sprayed into the air, pelting my cheeks. My palms stung from sliding across the asphalt, but the pain barely registered. I started to lift my head. "Ryder?" I whispered.
"I'm here."
The weight shifted off me, and he said something else, but the blood pumping in my ears caused his voice to fade in and out.
"Are you okay?"
"Yeah." Adrenaline coursed through my veins, pushing the disbelief aside. My gaze flew across the parking lot and then stopped on the person lying on his side. "Oh my God." Ryder rose swiftly.
"No. No."
He shot across the parking lot. I froze, not believing what I was seeing. I couldn't afford to believe it. My heart stuttered in my chest, my stomach twisted painfully. Oh, God. This hadn't happened. This wasn't happening. These kinds of things didn't happen in broad daylight. They didn't happen right in front of me. They didn't happen to someone I knew. They didn't... Those thoughts were so stupid. Because it did happen. That was Jaden. That was Jaden lying on his side. That was Jaden lying on his side with dark liquid pooling on the ground beneath him.
"Oh, shit. Oh, shit."
Ryder dropped to his knees beside Jaden.
"Holy fuck, Jaden? No, goddamn it, no!"
His voice broke on the last word and he shouted it again, the word ripping out of him, tearing through all the noise.
"No!"
With shaky arms, I pushed to my knees and then stood. Swaying, I stumbled forward, my mouth moving, but there were no words. Ryder looked up at me, his eyes wide. He lifted his hands, the same dark substance covered his hands. I lurched to the side, pressing my palm against my mouth. Horror slammed into me with the force of a freight train bowling me over. A million thoughts raced in my head as I looked around. People were gathering, coming out of the nearby row homes. Someone was crying. Screams still tore through the cold air. Everything was rushing around us, but standing still at the same time. I needed to get help. We needed help. I knew what to do. I reached for my phone as I heard sirens wailing. Help was already coming. I twisted back around, and Jaden was now lying on his back. I knew he didn't move himself, because I saw his eyes. I'd seen eyes like that once before. They were fixed on nothing. Dull and unseeing. Oh, God. Oh, God. Ryder was touching Jaden's throat, and he was shaking his head. The two blurred. I walked around Jaden's unmoving legs, my steps jerky. I knelt, fell to my knees beside Ryder. I placed a trembling hand on his arm. He jerked as his gaze swung to mine. Someone shouted, and the small half-circle of people broke apart, as a tall form pushed through. Ryder shot to his feet as Hector stumbled to a halt. He took a step back, and then doubled over, slamming his hands onto his knees.
"No, no, no, that's not my... no!"
Then Hector sprang forward. Ryder wrapped his arms around his waist.
"You don't want to see this man. You don't... that's my brother?"
He struggled to get around Ryder, voice cracking like a whip. "Man, is that my brother?" Ryder dug in, holding Hector back as he kept shouting, "That's my brother?" Over and over, he asked, and each time it was like hearing the shots pop.
"Oh, man, no. No, no, that's not Jaden. That's not him. That's not him on the ground."
My heart caved in on itself. The blare of the sirens grew closer, drowning out everything except for Hector's broken, shattered voice. The sound of absolute heartbreak. Red. Blue. Red. Blue. Hours later, and I could still see the flashing, whirling lights. It didn't matter if my eyes were open or closed. I could still see them, and the sea of blue uniforms that had swarmed into the street and the parking lot. Everything had been a blur of questions and faces, and I didn't know how much time passed. Police asked me questions I